Blog Talk Radio.
And we are live. It is Thursday, July 16th. I had to move the paper across at 7 o'clock. If it is not July 16th and you're listening to a replay, you don't have to call in. But if you are listening right now, 7 o'clock on July 16th, please do call the program. We'd love to hear from you. It's our call-in number is area code, that's not too bad, is 646-727-3235. That is the number to call. I believe that is located somewhere on the West Coast. I believe it's Los Angeles. You can look it up, or just better yet, just call it. Get on the switchboard, and we'll bring you on the air. And for tonight's wine segment, we will be discussing a very interesting topic from my homeland of Italy. So that's coming up. And actually, I was in Texas, but you know what the heck? Relatives in Italy. Okay, there we go.
Welcome to the call-in talk show that is all about wine, with special guest Ron, winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert with Florida Estates Winery, located 4 miles west of Interstate 75 on State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Winery details and event information will be announced during the show. So sit back, relax, and join us with a cool glass of world-class wine produced right here in Florida. Your comments, questions, and dialogue are welcome. Registered users of Blog Talk Radio can call for free by using the Click to Talk button on our show page, or send questions and comments in our chat room. Registration on Blog Talk Radio is free and only takes a minute. All other listeners may call us by phone. Dial area code 646-727-3235. That's 646-727-3235. Tampa listeners may call our local number by dialing area code 813-990-0741. That's 813-990-0741. Finally, if you have Skype, call the show by contacting ChicoDog1. That's D-A-W-G and the number 1. Call us anytime during this hour-long program. It's all about wine. And now, from Florida Estates Winery, here is Ron.
Wow, what a great crowd.
Yeah, good. I'm glad you got there tonight.
Yes, we have. Thank you.
Thanks.
Everybody gets a complimentary glass of wine. So by the time the show is done, they won't know where they're at. But they are actually in the front yard this time because of the weather is perfect. And I mowed yesterday.
Good.
Yeah, it was a little over an acre, and it took me all day. But it was great because it was 95 degrees outside, and the sun was burning, and it was great. So anytime I get an opportunity to mow the grass, and it's bright, sunny, and 95 degrees, I just enjoy it.
So, have to jump on it, yes.
So we put out the lawn chairs and a couple of cots and everything, and everybody's sitting out there. A few of you are on the grass, and I appreciate that. So thank you for joining us and joining us online on the program on Blog Talk Radio. In the chat room, if you make it over to the chat room, that is off of our show page on Blog Talk Radio. So make it over there. The chat page will open up. We'll see you on as a guest. If you register on Blog Talk Radio, it's a free registration, a simple process. Then you'll be able to chat back with us in the chat room, and you can also use the click to talk button. It's great. It's free. All you have to have is a microphone and a set of speakers or something to listen to us back on to use that, and so we can hear you as well, and you'll get on the program. Tonight's topic, I believe, is, as I mentioned earlier, is Italy. We have Ron on the phone. He is our Italian expert.
No.
Okay, our wine expert. He's going to tell us about Italian stuff. So, and I have some music for us. Roll it. There we go. From Italy. Oh, wait a minute. I don't think that's Italian. What?
That sounds like Western.
Oh, now it's not Italian. Okay, that wasn't Italian. That was the Mexican hat dance. Okay. I think that was the Italian anthem.
That's what I was going to say. I had to stand up or almost choke myself because the microphone's plugged in.
Yeah, that was a little, I don't know what that, man, that was loud. Okay, so that's the Italian anthem. Yes. That's a better volume for it. So everybody, I don't know if we can interrupt that, because they were doing the United States anthem, American anthem. I don't know if we have a problem. That's the Italian anthem. We actually have a live band doing that outside for our guest out on the front lawn. So
that's always nice. That's nice touch. Yeah.
Because we're on a limited time and we only have 54 minutes left, and I know this is a big topic that we may have to discuss over the next coming months, I will stop it there, unfortunately. If you have a complaint, send it directly to me that I interrupted the anthem, and I'm real sorry. But trust me, it bothers me because I am half Italian and...
Back to your roots.
Yes, and I had no idea that was the anthem. So that's how closely Italian I am. But no offense to anybody okay. So, Ron, welcome to the program. And,
thank you, Mike.
With Florida Estates Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida. We'll give you more information in a little after a while. You'll hear phone numbers, email address, and the website, all that directions and upcoming events coming up. And I'll send it over to you. And if you'd like to call again, 646-727-3235, or chat with us in the chat room. It was very good last week, and we'd love to see everybody back this week again and our newcomers. So welcome to the program, and take it away. I'm going to drink.
Thank you very much. Italian wines, we're going to talk about tonight. Now, first thing I want to do before we go any further is jump in here and give a disclaimer. I am not Italian. Actually Irish, but there's lots of words here that I need to pronounce that are Italian. So if I mispronounce them, I apologize from the very start. I am sure I will mispronounce some of these words. And if I do, please don't take offense. It is not meant to be mispronounced. It's just that, well, I just don't understand Italian that well. So, Italian, this is a big subject. Italy is really a wine-producing country. Most Italian wines, well, here, let's start out with the fact that Italy is the world's largest producer and consumer of wines.
Wow.
I know, that was my thought when I read that. I always considered France might be number one or possibly Germany. I know the United States is catching up. The United States... for consumption is moving right in there, and they're doing a great job of per capita consumption of wine is picking up. But Italy is number one. They have 20 regions in Italy. For those of you who are not familiar with Italy, let me give you a little quick geography lesson on Italy. Italy is in the in Europe. It is the country with the boot, shaped like a boot down at the hill. It has three islands off of it. One of the islands is owned by, or is not owned, but one of the islands is part of France, so that's really not count as Italy. But there are three islands off of it, Sicily being the biggest one off the toe of the boot, and then Sardinia, is the other one, and then Corsica is a French possession, a French island. The country is divided into 20 regions, we would call them states, 20 regions. It goes from the northern part, which borders on Switzerland and France, and on the west side, and Austria is on the east side, and I think Turkey also touches it over there too, if I remember my geography well. But it is a long country. The northern part of it is bordered on the Alps, so it is very high. There is a range of mountains that run through the center of the country. The Apennines mountain range runs down to the center of the country, and it provides slopes of every conceivable altitude, soil of all sorts of different types. Drainage and exposure reaches the gamut of possibilities for wine growing. The mountains down through the country really do divide up the country and create many microclimates all up and down the country of Italy. Each of the 20 regions is an entity of its own with certain powers that tend to stray from national winemaking standards and laws. Each region is subdivided into provinces that take their names from the villages that from the principal villages that they occupy. So it would be, from what I understand, the 20 regions are like states, and then they're subdivided into what we would classify as counties. And each county or each subdivision, each province, would be named after the largest city in that. So, for example, if it was West St. Chapel, for example, was the biggest city in your province, that would be the name of the province, West St. Chapel. Or Land O'Lakes would be the biggest one in that province, whatever. So they're divided up like that. So this is a general idea of the country of Italy. It is surrounded on three sides, much like Florida, with water. The Mediterranean Sea is to the west of the country. The
Adriatic.
Thank you. I can't even pronounce an English word there. You can tell that I'm going to pronounce Italian words. Adriatic Sea. Yeah, I tried to throw another syllable in there.
Okay.
The Adriatic Sea is on the east part of the country. Mediterranean also is down on the southern part. Because of the influence of the Mediterranean and Adriatic Seas, the climates on the coast are really, really quite warm. But as you get a little bit more inland, and because of the elevation, it does cool down quite rapidly. It is a very hilly country. You'll find flat regions, but overall, the country of Italy is quite hilly. It is Italian wine is marked by a classification system. This classification system dates back centuries. It is something that first started when they first started to make wine there. They started to divide and put classifications to see what the quality of the wine was. The ancient Romans defined the original production areas. I mean, this is, and again, Rome being the Italy being the home of Rome and the Romans, and so this is a very old, very advanced country as far as a lot of the winemaking stuff goes, something they've been doing for many, many years. In 1716, the Grand Duchy of Tuscany redrew those zones, and they remained pretty consistent through most of history, except for brief periods here and there, but they always went back to it. So these regions that was renamed in 1716 have really continued to be honored throughout the centuries. They are divided into Italian wine law. I guess this is the best way to say it. There are four different categories to Italian wine law, and here I'm going to try to pronounce some of these words, and I apologize already because I do not speak Italian. The first one is the DOCG, it's referred to as, and this is the Denominazione di Origine Controllata Garantita, or Garantita. This is the most stringent of the categories. This is the appellations that embraces all the controls and all the DOC, which I'll describe in a moment here, requirements. And it also further requires more controls and more labeling on the wines and more stringent areas and things that you can do. For example, on the wine label, and this is one of the things that makes it difficult for a lot of people to understand Italian wines, because they do list so much on their label. It is narrows it down to even vineyards a lot of times. If you're trying to read an Italian label and trying to understand an Italian label, the vineyard is almost indicated on some of them, so that if you're familiar with the areas and familiar with the vineyard, you can understand what is being made there and who and all that. Most of the world is unfamiliar with that, just like most of the world really is unfamiliar with California wines. We understand Napa, but when you start speaking of smaller areas, it's lost. And this is especially true in Italian and French wines, because it does specify specific vineyards quite a bit. On the wine label, you have zone of the origin, you have the net contents, name and grower of the bottler, you have the place of the bottling, and the product's alcohol strength, or the amount of alcohol. It's also on the DOCG is affixed to the bottle as a government seal of approval. And the wine is subject to analysis at any time by government inspectors. So if a winery does get a DOCG certification, then at any time a government inspector can inspect that wine to be sure that it is to the standards that it is proclaiming in this DOCG designation. A lot of regions have a DOCG designation. There are 24 wines and regions. Tuscany has, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 areas. Piedmont has 6, 7 areas. Lombardy has 4. Emilia Romagna has 1. Umbria has 2. Campania has 1. Sardinia has 1. Veneto has 4, and Friuli has 1. So these are the, and they also are broken down into those areas there. So the DOCG is the highest rating, the highest ranking, the highest certification you can get. After that comes the DOC. Now this is Denominazione di Origine Controllata, and it's not with the guarantee, or not with the guaranteed label on it. These wines are registered by the government. Their labels have to state the zone of origin, and the wines are required to meet certain production standards, but not as strict as the as this DOCG. Only approved methods of planting, cultivating, fertilizing can be used in these wines. So it is still pretty strict, but not quite as strict as the first category, the guaranteed. The amount of yield in these categories are controlled as they are in the DOCG. In fact, remember, everyone in this category also applies to the DOCG category. Bottling specifications are specified. Alcohol content, aging, all these come under review and are checked at all times. There's currently around 300 designated DOCs in Italy. The next one is the Indicazione Grafica Tipica. I may be pronounced. Again, I apologize for my Italian. And this application was just recently instituted in 1992. And this falls between the lowest designation and the DOC. It's the purpose is to upgrade some of the major portions of Italy's table wines, basically. And that's about 40% of all the wines there. They wanted to give a little bit more. They didn't want to. This group does not fall into the strong controls and specifications that DOC does, but it is a little bit higher than your standard table wine. This is referred to as IGT. The wine labels must declare the specific regions and may even say the varietal type of vintage. The growers are required to apply for the IGT status, just like they are for the other two, but it's not as stringent as the other two. And there's only a little more than 100 of these in this category, the IGT category. And then the last category is called the Vino di Trevola, or the VDT. And these are simple table wines that don't carry a varietal name or vintage date or anything. These are These are most of your wines that Italy does produce fall into this category, simply because it shows that it is up to certain standards, but it's not. They're not going to follow all the rules and regulations. They are going to go out there and they're going to make some wines that are going to be decent, but not overpowering or not falling under all the categories. So those are the designations. Italy is very strong on their designations. Italy is probably more so than anyone, although the history of these designations goes back, like I said earlier, to the early 1700s. So it's something that they're very proud of and something that they do follow closely. Regions of Italy. This is, like I said earlier, there's 20 regions. Each region is a wine growing area. There is no region, no area in France that does not grow wine, or I'm sorry, grapes. Every one of them is a grape growing area and every one of them makes wine. Some of them are much better known than others. Some of them have better climates than others, but everywhere makes wine. I mean, you would have to consider the fact that since Italy is the largest producer and consumer of wines, then you pretty much have to plant as much as you can in that, in wine to come up with that designation. Go through some of these quickly here. I won't spend a lot of time on each one because, well, I don't know, my time's not too bad, so I may spend a little bit more time. The first region, let's look at the northern part of the country up by the Andes Mountain, or the Alps, rather, up by the Alps. I said Andes earlier, didn't I? I didn't say Alps. Andes is in South America. The Alps are in Europe. Okay. So don't be calling and saying, hey, I know the difference. I just said the wrong words. So, Piedmont. Piedmont is up in the northern part of it. The word Piedmont stands actually means foot of the mountain, and it is located just that, at the shadows or the foot of the Alps Mountains. It is hemmed in by the Alps on three sides, the north, west, and south. The eastern side is the only side that's really open for that. Only 100 miles away or so is the Mediterranean Sea, so it is... the Alps prevent the Piedmont from being influenced too much by the Mediterranean, though. At elevations are in the Piedmont district climb up to 2,000 feet, and the area receives snow 2 months out of the year. So it's pretty cold. And the actual latitude of Italy is reasonably far south. Actually, you get down to the boot of Italy, down to the toe and the island of Sicily, and the longitude for those is the same as northern Africa. So it really is pretty far south overall. And this is so when you start getting snow 2 months out of the year, you can see the big influence of the Alps. The summer heat in Piedmont, though, is really quite strong. It's followed by cooler autumn and then the actual classic spring. A lot like eastern United States, not Florida, but up a little bit further north, where you have four distinct seasons. You have snow, spring, summer, fall that are distinct. And the Piedmont area is a good example of that in Italy. This is the Piedmont area's largest DOC region in Italy. It is... home to 7 of Italy's 25 DOCG appellations. So it's got one of the largest areas of wine growing. The fruit is usually quite, or the grapes are usually quite fruit-forward wines, particularly in the white wines. It is the home of the Asti, which most people are aware of, which is produced in this area. And it also comes out with some very big tannic reds, the Barola, the Barbaresca, and the Gattinara are just some examples of some of the big reds that come out of there. And the Barbera, which I really love. I love a Barbera wine, Barbera grape. And the Dolcetto really are some very pleasant red wines coming out of the area. So Piedmont is probably for diversity and for quality, that's probably the most well-known of the wines that people are used to and are familiar with. Barola and Barbaresca, as we were talking, are the big wines, the serious wines of Italy. Whenever we speak of big wines in the United States, most people use to think of California, Napa Valley, Sonoma, stuff like that. When they speak of big wines in Italy, you're talking Piedmont. This is the area that you're going to find these big wines. Full of flavor, a lot of tannin, aging potentials, capable of matching up to some strong, hearty dishes. These are the wines that have the hints of chocolate and prunes and are just some lovely. I like I say, I love these. I've had some of the Barbaresca, Italian Barbarescas, and they are just absolutely beautiful wines. The Barella is probably Italy's greatest red wine. I've had a couple of Barellas, and I have really, really been impressed with them. They are powerful. They are strong. They've got a lot of depth, a lot of character. They've had aging potential, often referred to as the king of wines and the wine of kings. This is a very complex wine, a lot like a Cabernet type flavors and taste. It is produced from 100% of the Nobello grape. This is a strong red grape grown in Italy for centuries, actually. It is grown in the hills surrounding the town of Barola, and it's just they have rules and regulations. Again, we go back to the DOCG where all the rules and regulations, it must have a minimum of 12.5% alcohol, must be aged for a minimum of 3 years, with those years either being in oak or chestnut cask. The wood contributes to the smoky, woody flavors and all that. And the Barella that's been aged for 5 years may be labeled Reserva. And wines are just, you know, long-lasting, complex, very, very nice, lovely wine. I if you get a chance to try a Italian Barola, mm-hmm. I would highly suggest, you know, getting, if you like the big heavy wines. If you don't, it's going to be disappointing to you. It's going to be drier, and it's going to have a little bit more complexity and stuff to it than the lighter ones. The Barbaresca is a lot of times referred to as Barola's younger cousin. This is made from 100% Nebbiolo grapes also, but these are grown in the hills surrounding the town of Barbaresca. And again, I referred to naming regions, our communities, after the closest town. It is the Barbaresca is aged for 2 years and has to be at least 1 year in oak or chestnut. And again, the minimum alcohol is 12.5%. And I bring up this minimum alcohol because in the United States, it's not required to have a minimum alcohol in any particular wine. I talked about this in earlier programs where red wines will have more alcohol simply because the way the grapes are picked and the way you're doing it, you want to ferment out the sugars. And as you're fermenting out the sugars, as the sugar disappears, it turns into alcohol. So just by the nature of the fact that it is a red wine, it tends to be a little bit higher alcohol. But in the United States, we're not required to have any certain amount of alcohol in any of our wines. There's no regulations, no rules, whereas they do, especially under the DOCG designation, laws in Italy, you are required to have certain alcohol levels. Nobello grape is a very earthy grape. I can describe the Nobello grape, but I've talked about Cabernet Sauvignon, and you can almost substitute the word Nobello for the word Cabernet Sauvignon. It gives you the same type of smokiness with age. It gives you the same types of leather, tar, earthiness to it. it, you know, the suggestion of licorice, all these things that you find in a Cabernet, you also find in a Nebbiolo grape. Another region, small region in the Piedmont area is Gattinara. This is a region that also grows the Barbaresca and the Nebbiolo, just like the Barbaresca and Barolo. These wines are made from 90% Nebbiolo, and the rest of it's made from a Bernardo grape. And this requires 4 years of aging, two which must be in the wooden barrels. So you, as I'm going through this, you can see how strong the Piedmont area is for the heavier reds and for the more complex wines that Italy puts out. They also put out the Asti, which is much lighter, fruitier. Most people think of Asti Spumante when they speak think of Asti, which is the most common use that people are aware of. Barbera, I mentioned the Barbera grape earlier. I do want to cover that a little bit because it is one of my favorites. I really do enjoy the Barbera grape. California put out a Barbera wine many years when I lived out in California. I grew to love the Barbera. And I was out there last time I was out there a couple of years ago. I searched all over to try to find some of the Barbera, and it just seems to have dropped out of favor. I guess most people are just getting away from California Barberas and sticking with Italian, because I found a couple of them out there, and I picked them up, and I was going to enjoy one tonight, and I think I might have already drank it because I couldn't find it. Which is sad because, you know, I probably did drink it since I do enjoy it so much. But the Barbera is really, really nice wine. It's widely planted throughout Italy. It's a very adaptable grape. It excels in the Asti regions, the Alba regions of the Piedmont. It's just a simple, easy drinking, straightforward grape that really promotes the Italian idea, the Italian ideology of wine is meant to be consumed with meals, and the minimum of fuss that you put into the wine to enjoy with your meal is better. And that's really what a Barbera does. A Barbera gives you a nice red wine with a little bit of fruitiness, a little bit of it's a light-bodied red that, I can go on and on about how much I love it because it is really a nice one. You can find Italian Barberas all over in wine stores at a reasonable price. And I do suggest very strongly that if you get an opportunity to pick up a Barbera, then try it. It is very nice. It's a very nice, pleasant wine. Gives you I want to say sweet, but not really sweet, light fruitiness. I guess sweetness could come in there, but I don't associate the sweet so much as I do just enjoy the fruitiness of it. Great with pasta, obviously that would almost dictate itself to Italian food and all that. Dolcetto. This is Piedmont's second most widely planted grape after the Barbera. It's been planted throughout the world. It's another fruity wine. This is the name means the little sweet one. Like a Beaujolais, it's intended to be enjoyed young. It goes well with light foods. It should be a little bit cooler. It's not I refer to the fact that there's no such thing as room temperature. 72 degrees, a little bit too warm for most all red wines. You need them down into the upper 50s, low 60s. Actually, that's white wine. Red wine's up in the upper 60s. The Dolcetto serve it around 60 degrees, 55, 60 degrees. It is dry, usually pretty tannic. It's not real, it can age a little bit for you, which brings up the fruitiness more so than the tannins. The Gave grape is another one that's grown in the Piedmont region. Again, a light fruity grape. a little lemony aroma to it. I've had the Gavet grape. It's usually blended a lot. It's a white grape. It goes really well with seafood, fish dishes, and stuff like that. Much lighter, fruitier style. And then one other grape from the Piedmont region that's really planted quite widely is another white grape called the Arnaise. And this is grown in the southern part of Piedmont, by the town of Alba. And it is usually makes for a lighter, fruitier wine with your classic apple, pear type nose to it. So that's the Piedmont area. Let's go on to northeast Italy. And, well, I think we might have to do a couple of weeks of Italy.
Yeah, just cover the regions.
Yeah, just covering the regions. So many of the regions have so many distinct flavors and tastes. I was just, as I was refreshing, I know quite a bit about the Italian wines, but I was refreshing and looking up some other stuff and all that over it. And I was amazed about the difference. I know a lot about Italian wines as far as drinking the wines and what they were like, but I didn't realize so much about the areas that produce them and the type of growing regions and a lot of the things that, as a winemaker myself, I became more and more aware of. And previously when I was getting into Italian wines, I was just looking at, oh, this is a nice red, it's fruity and all this other stuff. And now it's a little bit more involved, and as I was looking up different things on this, I was amazed about how how each area, and within each area, just like the Piedmont area, just little difference of areas within the Piedmont area makes such a big difference in flavors and taste. So, and I should know that because, you know, it's just, you know, microclimates. Northeast Italy, the northernmost region of northeast Italy, the Trentino Alto Adige. This is Italy's northernmost region. It is so mountainous that only about 15% of this land is used for cultivation. It is, and this is sort of like in the center of it, it's a region in the center of it. It was once part of the Austrian-Hungarian Empire, and in fact, German is still spoken in a lot of this area. It is right up in the corner, and it's so close to Germany. A lot of this is still spoken in Germany. Part of this was annexed after conflicts and fights over the centuries, and it's jumped back and forth between Italy and Germany, and so it's the language is jumping around, but right now German is probably the most common language up there. In terms of the quantity, the Trentino Alto Adige is not as important as some of the other areas that you're going to find in Italy. But it does have one of the highest proportions of the DOC wines, which again, this is the second highest designation. Actually, this area also has the highest percentage of exports of Italian wines. So you will find quite a few of your wines from this region in your stores and stuff like that. It is probably because of its location, being shielded around the mountains and stuff, it is the warmest area for wine producing and grape growing in Italy. Extreme temperatures from morning until night and throughout the night. It's just very high highs, very low lows. You'll get temperatures into the upper 80s and 90s throughout the day and sometimes even higher. And at night, that will drop down tremendously into the low 50s. So in different areas, you'll get a big fluctuation. It's because of this, it's able to produce some high quality reds, Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot, Pinot Noir. But it's probably best known for its whites, its crisp distinct whites, your Pinot Grigios, your Pinot Blanco, Bianco, and your Gewürztraminer. Traminer. And Gewürztraminer is a very nice grape. I enjoy the Gewürz. It's a little spiciness to it. Germany, probably best known for Gewürz. But this, again, because of the region being so close to Germany, it is grows the Gewürz there also. One of the areas, Alto Adasia, is the area that covers the northern portion of this region I just mentioned. It is borders on Austria and Switzerland. It is very hilly, steep hillsides because of the Alps, dropping down from the Alps. It is, again, I repeat, German-speaking. It's a majority there. And it still has strong ties with Austria. Italy picked up this region as recently as 1918, which within the last 100 years, less than 100 years ago. So this it's a new area for Italy. It's probably best known for the Pinot Grigio. This is the... when people speak of Italian Pinot Grigios, most of the time it will come from the Alto Adige area. The Val di Zenge, or J, I V A L D A D I G E, Val di Zenge, I think it's pronounced. When the geographic lines were redrawn in the 1918, again, the same time that Italy picked up the Alto Adige region from Austria. Parts of northern Italy had previously been part of Austria, and they picked up even more areas besides just the Alto Adige area. They also picked up the Val d'Adige area. This is, again, very a lot of German spoken there, very hilly, very high slopes throughout the area, and primarily known for its white wine because of the hilliness and because of the temperatures there. The white wine tends to be very very prominent. The other one, Friuli Venezia Giulia, I think it's pronounced as Friuli Venezia Giulia. This is a small area up in the northern part of Italy, in the northeast part, completely surrounded by Austria. It is also a lot of hilliness. It's because of the hills and all that, it is a narrow strip of land. During Roman times, it was a vital outpost for against the invasions of Italy. Instead of trying to come in through to the sea, the marching around there, this was always a very critical part there. It's ruled by many different countries over the centuries. Now, after World War II, the territory is split between Yugoslavia and Italy, and Italy has this area now. There are seven DOC areas in the Friuli Venezia Giulia region, and probably the most important ones are from the Collia area, which is right close to Austrian border and the Yugoslavian border. There's an enormous lake that is in that part, and a lot of the lake influence does make a difference in it. 20 grape varieties are accepted in this area. Again, the Pinot Grigio is a very important one. Pinot Bianco, Riesling is grown there, Chardonnay, and then there's a local varietal that's called the Tokaja Friulana. I'm not familiar with that grape at all. If it's anything like the others, so on the white grape, it probably is quite good. The Veneto region is a third of the area in northern northeast Italy. It covers, it borders all of the Piedmont region, and it stretches from just a little bit on the Austrian border all the way down into the boot, or into the main part of the country. It is a temperate climate, a lot of hills. It's has been growing grapes in that area since cultivated grapes in that area since the Bronze Age. They are finding all sorts of indications that this was probably one of the major growing areas of the early man in that area. It has a unbelievable amount of wines that are growing there. Bordeaux-like grape varieties are growing, Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot, Cabernet Franc. Corvina grapes are produced here with wines such as the Bordolino and the Valpolicella. Suave, everyone has probably heard that. It is, you can find Suaves in almost any wine shop or grocery store. A white wine, very nice with nice flavors and nice taste. It's the Suave, Suave Bulla is the one that most people are familiar with. Again, Bulla is an area, a grower, a wine, a winery, Suave being the region. It is, there are also a lot of Valpolicella, which is very common. You see this a lot of times. It's very famous around the world. The plain Valpolicella has a cherry color and a distinct aroma of a little bit of cherry with a little bitter finish. We see Valpolicellas all over the place, too. It's a mass-produced wine that is spread throughout the world. And the sad thing is with these two, I think, and I'm going to editorialize for a second here, is that a lot of people associate Italian wines with the Suave and the Valpolicella, because these are the ones that people usually see, they usually buy, because they are everywhere. They go, oh, let's try this Italian wine. And they try those, and they tend to be rather disappointing because they're not really what it would be a good example of Italian wines. Suave is mainly made from a Garganiga grape, very prolific white grape that is widely cultivated around the areas. It is a good grape if taken care of and made properly, but the Suave is usually just thrown together, and it's usually blended with Trebbiano, Chardonnay, or Pinot Blanc, and it as long as it's 70% of the Garganiga grape, then they can blend it with anything else. It's the Garganiga is a nice grape, again, but just like any wine, you have to take your time, you have to work with it. Valpolicella is the Italian word, name derives from the Italian word for bitter. So the wine is predominantly made from the Corvina grapes, and then they're dried on reed mats, sometimes for as long as 6 months, and then they become raisins. They look like raisins, become raisins. And then they produce an intense, full-bodied red wine with a lot of alcohol from this. And this is an Amarone. Amarone is a sweeter wine that is from the Valpolicella area, a sweeter wine that is very very high alcohol. And it's a nice alternative to your ports or your sherries, stuff like that. So it is, well, let me go through a few of the grapes here before we go into central Italy, and then I will cut it off. We'll have to continue on Italy next week, it looks like. Another region, another wine in the, from this region is the Laguna. The Laguna grape is made from, our Laguna wine is made from 100% Trebbiano grape. and it growing next to Lake. I was, as mentioned earlier, it is a fruity, nice, pleasant, dry wine, and a nice balance of acidity. The Amarone is the Amarone is some of the best red wine produced in the world, actually. To be sure I get this properly, let me read you about this Amarone, and then I will turn it back over to you, Mike.
Okay.
Amarone is, to make an Amarone, the ripest grapes are selected from each bunch, and they are spread out on reed mats, and I was telling you a little bit about this earlier, the Amarone, spread out on reed mats and left to dry. Then, as they're drying, they look like raisins. They're left to dry for anywhere from, and I just said it earlier and I lost it again, sometimes for as long as 6 months. When fermented to dryness, these super ripe grapes become a heady, full-flavored wine of 14 to 16% alcohol that is velvety and rich, which is the hint of sweetness. Allowing the wines to resonate produces the higher alcohol percentage and accounts for the slightly sweet, nutty taste. Amarone is an excellent choice for hearty meat and game dishes and full-flavored cheeses. I have to admit, I've never had an Amarone, but it is appealing. Just reading the definition, I ran across that when I was looking at this stuff, and I've never had one, but it does look appealing, so I'm going to have to check out the Amarone.
Yeah.
But Valpolicella, Ripasso, Bordolino, these are all regions from the northern northeast Italy, all makes for the heavier wines. The Valpolicella ranks just after the Chianti for Italy's total DOC red wine production. So it's really, you know, quite large and quite prolific. And the Bordolino is another area that is encompasses a lot of vineyards, uses a lot of Italian grapes, a lot of grapes that we're not familiar with here in the United States. Wines labeled Bordolino Classico are made from grapes from the smaller sites that is thought to have better vineyard land and stuff like that. So that is the first couple of regions, a little bit about Italian wines. And
wow.
I'm going to have to continue this next week. Thank you, crowd. Enjoy your wine.
Yes.
And so I don't want to go too long here because we need some time to tell about the winery and
yes,
and how to get a hold of us and all that good stuff.
Okay.
So I'll let you talk while I sip some of my wine I have.
Okay.
Here.
All right. Yeah, that was wow. We just covered really two regions, the northern and northeast, and I don't think we got into the central part. And
no,
there's a whole lot more to go yet.
Yeah, central Italy, the Tuscany areas we have to go, which includes the Chiantis and all that area.
Oh.
Then southern Italy, and which will include. So we covered half of it. We'll go into the central and southern next week and finish
okay.
up. Italy.
That's a lot of information. That's if you'd like to get in on the last, what are we down to? 6 minutes. So if you'd like to call in the next 30 seconds, it is it's time frame. 646 is the area code. 646-727-3235. 727-3235. That is a number to call if you're in California somewhere. It's area code 646. And I don't know if we already gave the 813 number, but it's almost closing time. But okay, so let's go to the contact information and all that. A couple of events coming up. Actually, there's one coming up this weekend, July 18th, I believe, is the wine class at the winery. That is from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. And if you are in the area of Land O'Lakes, anywhere really, it's close to any place in Florida, really. Just get on the interstate and head over to I-75 and get over to the winery. This weekend is the wine class from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. And you learn all kinds of interesting things during that 3 hours. History of wines, the wine grape diseases, styles, usage, cork histories, a cork history and usage, oak aging, the tasting process, the scoring of wines. I believe it's, what is it, 100-point scoring system?
100-point scoring system.
Okay.
Once you see on the shelves and stores and stuff like that.
Yeah, and then you have a sampling of the wines and with a discussion of each of those. And it's really great to check it out. You'll meet Ron and the crew over there at the Florida Estates Winery. That is in the, the winery located, let me give the address, 25241 State Road 52. That's 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida. If you need more information on the location, you can visit their website. I'll go ahead and give the address now since I'm on that. It's the website is located at www.floridaestateswines.com. That's W-I-N-E-S at the end there, .com. And all kinds of photos and information, hours of operation, which we'll give you right now. The winery is open daily, 11 a.m. until 6 p.m. That's every day except major holidays. Although you were open on July 4th, which was
On July 4th, yeah.
Yeah, that was interesting. You can also do picnics out there. Just, you know, give them a call. It's great to visit, great place to hang out at and to sample and purchase these world-class wines. The phone number to call is 813-996-2113. 813-996-2113. That is the winery. Direct number. July 25th is the next Wine Fest. If you haven't been to Wine Fest, you need to go. There are vendors out there. I don't have a, that's coming out of the next newsletter, so we'll announce it for the next show. But they do have vendors of all types, artisans, crafts. Sometimes there's food, so you can hang out underneath those giant oak trees. And even when the weather's warm as it has been, it's still a pleasant always a great day, still pleasant out there at the Florida Estates Winery. So check that out. Wine Fest, July 25th is the next one, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. That is a free event, and you just walk in, you go through the door, you go around, whatever. I prefer to go to the door. I always go through the door because then there's always things going on inside that you want to take a look at. And you go in and you go into Wine Fest, and Wine Fest is outside in the underneath the giant oak trees. And so a wine class is this Saturday, July 18th, from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. Wine Fest is July 25th at 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. We'll have more details on who, what, and everything on the next program. So that's 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. for Wine Fest. And let's see, what else?
We also have a website, Facebook page.
Yes, Facebook. That's right.
So all of you out there who are into Facebook, join us, become a fan on Facebook. Mm-hmm. Florida Estates Winery. We run just Facebook specials and stuff. Plus, I just tell you what's going on and people visiting and things like that. So it's just Facebook.
Yeah. We have links and so you can check it out off of the. I think it's on the one of the show pages there, but there are links directly to your Facebook page as well, and you do have some really good updates on there as well. I tune into it. It's the Facebook page, and you do updates on who visited and things like that, things that are going on. It's very very cool to get that as well. Go to the website again, FloridaEstatesWines.com, and subscribe to the newsletter. You get all kinds of information and about upcoming events, and what's happening there at the winery. So that's really good to subscribe to as well. And it's a great information source. Also, you can email corp@floon.com. That is their email address, corp@FLEWN.com. And let them know you heard about the winery on Blog Talk Radio. That'd be kind of cool.
That'd be kind of nice.
We'd like to know that you're listening. So. Oh my gosh! You know, we hear the countdown thing. This is okay. We're down 14, 3, 8. Okay. We're kind of winding down. 45 seconds. Do you still have the Carmenere in?
We're down to a little less than 2 cases.
Okay. Yeah.
So if anyone wants Carmenere, come on out. You need to get it. It's going to be gone. Once it's gone, it's gone. So
it's a special wine. You want to check that out. That is from Chile, right? I believe.
Chile. Right.
Yeah, so definitely
the country, not the restaurant.
Oh, that's right.
Where the Andes are, not the Alps.
We got to get a world map or something.
We would need something, yeah. Maybe the crowd can help us.
Yeah, there you go. If you'd like to comment on the show or anything, contact us. We'd love to hear from you. The show is going to be closing in about 10 seconds. I was just going to say that. We'll see you next Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern time right here on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you all for tuning in. And thank you,
everyone.
Thank you. And, oh, it says it's not streaming. Okay.